Mean we are holding on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. All right, so here we go. Morning, Michael. All right, so we just finished saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're Mem Vav Amud Aleph about 9 lines down. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That he held like Rabbi Yochanan, like he held like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan says, Halacha Kestam Mishnah, the Halacha follows Kestam Mishnah. And we, already citing this Mishnah earlier in Mem Dalet Amud Beis, brought down a Mishnah before that seemed to be a Stam Mishnah, which talked about the wheels of the carriage. And it talked about having money on the wheels. And it said that if there is money on the wheels, the carriage is muksa, the wheel becomes muksa. If there's not money on the wheels, then it's okay. But the Gemara was medayik that you can't, that it's mashma, that so long as there's no money on it right now, it's not a problem, even if there was money on it, banish mashas. Seemingly telling us like Rabbi Shimon. So we seem to have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Shimon, that it's only a problem if the muksa is on it right now. We do not say migudis katsoy in every instance. So how can we paskin? How could Rabbi Yochanan say the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda? But Ham Rabbi Yochanan halakha kistam mishna v'tanan muchni shalah, the wheels of the wagon, v'zman shehi nishmetas, if they are removable, ein chibor la, like we said earlier, like we said yesterday, it's not considered attached with regards to that if the dead rat touches the wheel, the entire carriage becomes tummy. V'ein nimed, or if you touch the wagon, the wheel becomes tummy. V'ein nimedetas iman, it's not evaluated with it, it's not measured with it when discussing the size of the carriage. V'ein matzelus iman ba'el ha'meis, it doesn't save it in the oil ha'meis, like we spoke about yesterday. V'ein gerenos of b'shabbos, you can't move it on Shabbos, b'shman shi'esh ha'el ha'meis, if there's money on it right now. Ha'ein ha'el ha'meis, now the diak is that if there's no money on it, this is not stated in the Mishnah, but this was it is inferred that if there's no money on it, it is permitted. Even if there was money on it during Banish Mashas up to 10 seconds ago, as soon as the money falls off, you're allowed to move the carriage, the wheel. Why is that true? You should. I thought he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Zeira says, Tehei Mishnah Seinu Shaloi Hayu Alei Amayis Ka Banish Mashas. So Reb Zeira says, okay, listen, it doesn't actually say it in the Mishnah. It was inferred from the Mishnah, and albeit it was a strong inference, but since our backs are against the wall here and we have no other answer, we're just going to have to say that it's not true. Don't make the inference. Even though it sounded like the only condition is that there is no money on it right now, but we have to say that the condition also meant that there was no money on it, Beinish Mashas, in order to have that Mishnah in line with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Not to ruin the words of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, we're really against the wall over here. That's the only option we have. We'll have to say that inference you made is not waterproof. Okay? Am Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Pamachas halach Rabbi l'diaspora. Rabbi went to the diaspora. V'ahira v'menoira k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner. And he paskined. The words are b'menorah, like Rabbi Shimon, in a candle. So b'menorah we saw had a slightly different din. We saw two reasons, either because it's so big, it's kaveh makam, or because it's made out of chidki or chulios, and therefore you might, even according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha might be that it's aser. And he paskined by menorah, kiner, ki Rabbi Shimon b'ner, just like Rabbi Shimon paskined by ner. Now we know by ner, Rabbi Shimon said it's mutter to move, at least after the ner goes out. So questions to Gemara, just what are the words here? Ibailuhu, he paskin by menorah, which should have been usher, like Rabbi Shimon by ner, who paskins mutter. I mean, how do you read that? Hayra b'menorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner, leheter, does that mean that he disagreed with this whole new isser that we came up with candelabras and with menorahs, that it's mutter to move them? Just like Rabbi Shimon paskin by ner, that it's mutter, so too he paskin by menorah that it's mutter. In other words, he gave the... That's, why don't you just say mutter? The answer is that he gave the heter that Rabbi Shimon gave to every small ner, he gave it even to large candelabras. Is that what it means? Oidilma, does it mean... He paskin by menorah le'iser, and he paskin le'Rabbi Shimon b'ner, le'Rabbi Shimon b'ner le'hater. And the Gemara says, "Teiku." We're not sure what that expression meant. The Gemara gives a couple of anecdotes. Rabbi Malkia ikloi lebei Rabbi Samloi. Rabbi Malkia visited Rabbi Samloi's house with Tiltal Sharga, and he moved a lantern, a lamp, like Rabbi Shimon's psak. The ikved Rabbi Samloi, and Rabbi Samloi got upset. He said, "What halachas like Rabbi Yehuda?" Rabbi Yosi Klila'a ikloi la'asrid Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosi Klila'a visited the city of Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, and also Tiltal Sharga. Also, he moved the candle, and also the ikved Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina got upset. And finally, Rabbi Avo ki ikloi la'asrid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Avo, whenever he would leave, visit Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's place, have a metaltal Sharga, he would move lamps. Ki ikloi la'asrid Rabbi Yechanan, when he would visit the city of Rabbi Yechanan, lo'ev metaltal Sharga, he didn't move lamps. And the Gemara says, Manavshach. Ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei. If you pass like Rabbi Yehuda, so then other Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yehuda. Wherever you go. Why are you changing your psak? And Ik Rabbi Shimon Svirlei. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, so then go with Rabbi Shimon. Levi, Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara answers, Leiluk Rabbi Shimon Svirlei. He really held a Rabbi Shimon, therefore technically it was Mutter wherever he went. However, Mishim Kvoided Rabbi Yechanan, who Deloy Havi Ovid. And it was in honor of Rabbi Yechanan that he did not do this. It was in honor of Yechanan that he said that in Rabbi Yechanan's town, I'm not going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. But really, the reality is, he held like Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Sharga de Mishcha, Shor little too late. However, de Nafta is us little too late. A Sharga de Mishcha, a lamp that was fueled by oil, like Mishcha's oil, so it is permitted to move the lamp, like Rabbi Shimon's psak that he doesn't hold of muksa machmas mias. However, the Gemara says that if it's made out of the nafta, which is nafta is like a kerosene,
very smelly.
Yeah, it's much more. Rashi says that it's much more smelly. There, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that since there is absolutely... So in other words, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Muksa. But we see throughout these pages how many... Oh, but Rabbi Shimon is maskim over there. Every couple lines we have another Rabbi Shimon is maskim over there. So here's another place where Rabbi Shimon is maskim, where even if it's not Muksa Machamas Mi, if there's nothing else to do with it, because it's very smelly, it's made out of kerosene, so there, even Rabbi Shimon is Maida, that you have nothing else to do with it besides put more kerosene in there. There, Rabbi Shimon is Maida, that it is Muksa. Rabbi of Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarai, they both said, De Nafta Nami, Shari Little Tule. No, even if it is made out of, even a Nafta lamp is permitted to move. Now, the Gemara didn't say why. It's not used for anything else. The Gemara is going to say, no, it is going to be used for something. It has another use. In order to bring out what other use it has, the Gemara brings another anecdote, a story, where through the conversation we see what this... what other use this item has. So Rav Avia ikloi lebei Rava. Rav Avia visited Rava's house, having ma'isan bekare betina, and his feet, his shoes were very muddy. His feet were very dirty with mud. So ma'isan bekare, his feet were ma'isan betina with mud. And asiva aporia kamei de Rava, and he was sitting in Rava's house, and Rava put him down. He sat on the couch, and he put his feet on the couch in front of Rava. So he's getting Rava's white silk couch all muddy. And ik for the Rava got upset. So I'm not sure how to understand these Gemaras, but boilitz ure. Rava wanted to bother him. Rava was very upset. You're ruining my couch. So he wanted to get him upset. So he tried to ask him a question that he figured he wouldn't have the answer for, which is, what other things are these? Why would Rabbi Shimon be moided by neft? Amalei, my time of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Amri Tarvai, was Shagat the Nafta, Nami Sharel Tatule. Why does Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say that a lantern made out of neft a lantern which is fueled by neft, is permitted to move. Why? Even Rabbi Shimon should be moida over here that it's mukso. And he responded, no, it is, you are able to use it, because you're able to use this keli as a bottle stopper. Says the Gemara, any rock in the chatzar also you should be able to move, since it is able technically to, since it's technically able to use it as a keli, to cover the keli. Any rock then, so there's nothing that's muksa. What can't you use to cover a bottle? Amar le, no. It has to start off with a Torah's keli. It has to be a keli. Now you can have a question on this keli. What it's used for? So then I'll tell you that it's used for for a bottle cover. But you can't take something that's not a keli and say you're going to use it for a bottle cover. It's got to start off with a keli. Then it's almost not muksa. The question is, this keli can only be used for a muksa item. Well, if you find me that it could be used for a non-muksa item, then I'll accept. Okay, then it's not muksa. But you can't take something that's not a keli and say that it's not muksa because you could use it for. It's got to start off as it's really a keli. I'm like, how you can tear his keli la? Honey, like a tear his clear land. This lamp is a keli. So now you want to say that it only has muksa uses? That's not true. It has a non-muksa use as well. However, honey, these rocks that you're questioning, like a teres kli alein, they do not have a teres kli. And therefore, it's not a keli that you could say, I want to use it for a bottle stopper. You're right. If you go ahead and you designate it for real for a bottle stopper, it would be mutter to move. You could say that this rock is my official rock I use. That's why people who want to throw rocks or rotten tomatoes on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. They're drivers. So they, before Shabbos, they say, "I'm throwing this tomato." They set it aside to throw. And he brings a proof. Miloy Tanya, do we not say Hashirayim, these necklaces, v'hanizamim, these rings, like nose rings, v'hatabois and finger rings, hare hein kichol hakelim anitolim b'chatzur, even though that they are, it's usher to carry it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as we're going to see, it's usher, because we're going to usher jewelry, because maybe they would take it off and show it to their friends, and we'll discuss exactly how it's mutter for women to wear jewelry nowadays. It's definitely not simple. But based on the Gemara who says it's usher, even though it's usher, it's nevertheless movable. You're nevertheless allowed to move it. What's the reasoning? Since technically it has a status of a keli. We see that starting off as a keli gives it a higher madrega of that they're able to use it. It gives it a higher madrega of a keli. One second, I'm just going to quickly go through the stasis here. Yeah. So the Tais explains that it's not only according to this Gemara, it's not only usa to wear these jewelries outside. It's even usa to wear it inside, probably as a gezeira for going out. Therefore, technically, it should be usher to move it around. Therefore, technically, this ring is a klisha malach de l'isser, because you cannot use it beheter on Shabbos. You're not allowed to use this keli on beheter on Shabbos. Therefore, it is mutter to move the tzarech gufa el tzarech mekayim, the Gemara says. And questions tesis. So why? The answer is, since it's a Tyrus keli. And that's how we paskin, that if you need to move any object that is a keli, and you need it l'tzarech gufa or l'tzarech mekayma, you're allowed to move it. That's how we paskin, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So you come to your room, and somebody has left a hairdryer on your bed or something like that. So now, the question is, this is a hairdryer, it's muksa. What am I supposed to do? Or somebody left a cell phone on the bed. You could go ahead with your hands, pick it up, l'chadchila, no problem, based on this Gemara, because technically it's a keli, and I need the place. I need the place of the, I'm moving it for a good reason. Therefore, it is mutter to move any of these kelim. And I need the place, I need the bed. No. And similarly, let's say you want to go ahead and use, an item, a muksa item, for a non-muksa purpose. It's totally mutter to do. To go ahead.
Only kli shem lach lezer.
Correct. Because, yes. Because there's the status of a keli.
And this jewelry, you say kli shem lach lezer?
Yes, according to this Gemara, because this Gemara, and really the halacha, is that it's usur to wear on Shabbos. So the only thing you could do is really wear it during the week. All jewelry was really usur on Shabbos. Which would have saved us a bundle if we went with this psak. You don't have to buy a special Shabbos necklace and a special... Just get... it's not simple. There's a tesis that discusses the minhug not to listen to the Gemara, and one of the main heterim that he brings is that mutav sheyesh shagigin. Listen, they're not going to listen anyway. So mutav sheyesh shagigin. But lemaisa, the practice in Klal Yisrael has become to allow jewelry on Shabbos, even if you don't hold the air. Okay, so Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Brich Rachman had like Sifei Rava le Rav Avya. Baruch Hashem, that Rava did not succeed in his efforts at embarrassing Rav Avya. He tried to ask him a question that he wouldn't know the answer to, just because he's good at his couch. Well, Baruch Hashem, he didn't succeed. So I'm not sure exactly how to, any lessons gleaned from this incident where Rava got upset, but. Okay. Rami le Abaya le Rabba. Hold on. So 1 second. Okay. Rami le, says the Gemara. Rami le Abaya le Rabba. Abaya asked Rabba the following question. Tanya. Moisra Hashem and Sheba Nevra Sheba Ka'ara Aser. The leftover oil in the lamp and in the plate that was holding the lamp is prohibited. Rabbi Shimon matter. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. What do we see? Amal Rabbi Shimon less le muksa. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. Iver minuhu Rabbi Shimon oimer kol she'ein mumoy nikar. Now there is a halacha that states that if a person has an animal that is a bechor, he is not allowed to shecht it nowadays because a bechor is technically and automatically a carbon. What you got to do is, you have to wait until it gets a mum. Now, you can't, chas v'shalom, inflict a mum on it yourself, because that's an issur d'oraisa of inflicting a mum on a carbon. But you got to wait until it gets a mum. Now, even after it gets a mum, it has to get a special permission from a ordained rav in this area. You can't just decide yourself, even if it has a massive mum, it's missing a leg. Well, that's a discussion in Maseches Becharis. But generally, it needs an official psak from a rav that it is mutter it's an official mum, and it would be mutter to shech this animal. So, if you don't have the psak, so then you can't shech the animal. Okay, what happens if it's yantif, and the mum appeared on yantif? Or, even better, it's yantif, the mum appeared before yantif, but you weren't sure whether or not the Rav would give his heter for that. It's a small little scratch and whatever. You're not sure if it's considered a mum or not. So, is this animal available to be eaten on Yontif? Or do we say that it's muksa? At the beginning of Yontif, you didn't have the heter. So, this animal, for all intents and purposes, was muksa. You couldn't do anything with it. So now, even halfway through Yontif, that the Rav comes and says, yes, it's a taka amum, it's still not going to be permitted for the rest of Yontif. Because since it was muksa at the beginning of Yontif, it was muksa at the end of Yontif. Now, 1 second. I thought you told me that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. Rabbi Shimon, you just said, any oil that's left over in the lamp, you're telling me is mutter. So, what happened to muksa? Tara says he doesn't hold that type of muksa. Okay, so then why, if the Rav comes on Yontif and says that this bechor is taka a bal mum bechor, and you're allowed to eat it, how come we're about to see that Rabbi Shimon says you're not able to eat that animal on Yontif? Let's see the Gemara inside. Verminu, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'ein mum or nikar me'erev yantif, if the mum has not been noticeable on erev yantif, ein zem bun hamuchan, that is not considered a muchan. Again, muchan is the opposite of muksa. So it means it's not muchan, meaning it is muksa. The Gemara says, Hachi hashta, is it comparable? By the case of the fire, the case of the lantern, Hasam, Adam yoshivu metzapeh e masay tich b'neiroi. Over here, a person is saying, listen, I have 15 hours of oil in here because I don't know when my Shabbos is over, but I hope that it doesn't last the whole night because I don't want it to last the whole night. Every time after we go to sleep, every time that it's burning is technically a waste. I hope it goes out. So he's sitting there hoping that this ner goes out, and he doesn't want the oil to become muksa. Over here is the person sitting there and waiting for the fire to go. Is a person sitting there waiting for his bechar to get a mum? Meimar amar. He might be hoping it, but he has no real hope because he's like meimar amar. Mi emer denafel beimum. Who says a will get a mum? Vimtim said the denafel beimum. And even if it does get a mum, mi emer denafel beimum kavua. Who says it will be a stark enough mum that it will render it a mum kavua, that it will render it permissible to eat now. Vimtim said the nafal bay mum kavua, and even if it does nafal bay mum kavua, mi yemer demizdakik le chacham. Who says that the chacham will allow it to go? So there's three mi yemers. Tosfos discusses whether or not you need the three mi yemers, but there are three mi yemers that this guy doesn't really expect the heter to come. So since he doesn't really expect the heter to come, he taka is maktzet. So we now see that Rabbi Shimon does agree to muksa. It was dafka by ner because he expected and was hoping that the fire would go out before all the fuel, the oil, was used up. But generally, Rabbi Shimon does agree to muksa.
You mentioned
the
case where there is a mum that he thinks is a mum, but he hasn't been checked yet. So in that case, you might say, yeah, he does have an expectation. You know, I haven't got a confirmation yet, but the last time I saw this, it was a mum.
Right. So Tosfos discusses whether or not the three miyamers are dafka or not. The Gemara says, who says this and who says that? Is it only because he has a spek sveka? Or is it even with one question, like, oh, who says the Rav is going to come? So in Tosfos Miyamar, the first one, he discusses that. I think there's two opinions about this. So Tosfos says that it's lav dafka. Even if there's one suffix, based on the words of the Gemara, it would be like that. That if it was a mum kavua and you expect that, and you're just waiting for the chacham to give his psak, then that sounds like from the Gemara that would be not muksa. Nevertheless, Tosfos says even that's muksa, as long as you have to rely on something else and you're not sure it's going to come.
By the lamp, he doesn't expect it to go.
I know, so that's what I'm looking to find out right now.
Yeah, it's probably going to burn the whole way. He's hoping it doesn't.
Right. I don't know. I'm looking for that right now. Why isn't there a miyamer? Why isn't there a most likely that it doesn't burn out? Unless we could say that the metzias is that generally it didn't burn out. Generally it didn't burn to the ground. Maybe that was just the metzias. That I could hear. Does the Gemara mention anything? I'm wondering if that makes sense to say. I mean, I would think that would be a valid teretz. Let me think. I'm looking at the screen, but I'm actually looking at the.
In the notes here.
Yeah.
On that, it would mean also even more problematic, because it says even if the Bechor developed a permanent blemish before Yom Tov and is mukts on the basis of a single point.
Yeah, so that's like Tosfos says, right?
Tosfos, that is, who is to say an expert will be willing to examine it illegally on Yom Tov, Tosfos? Although Rabbi Shimon does not usually consider something mukts unless its owner actively sets it aside, like drying figs and raisins. You can see that a Bechor is mukta because its potential permissibility hinges on the willingness of another person to get involved. It's something that the owner cannot anticipate at all.
But then they
bring that from Ritva.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole different pshat. Because based on that, the main thing between, the lantern, although I could say by the lantern, you're the one who lit it. So
set aside any oil, though.
Right, no, so by the lantern, I hear that it's like comparable to the grapes and the raisins. Because you're the one who lit it.
You lit it to burn, you didn't light any oil, so you didn't set aside any of that oil actively.
Right, no, so I did, because I put all that oil in the lamp. By putting the oil in the lamp available for it to be fuel, I'm basically signing it away to get burned by the end of Shabbos. No, so it should be muksa.
So it should be.
Yeah. So, but except for the fact that we have to add in a little bit of metzias over here that we're gonna guess. I'm guessing over here that chances are it burns out. It usually doesn't run to the end, for some reason. That's what we have to say, and it doesn't run to the end. And you're hoping that it does. So therefore, it's not as if you. The Gemara's response is that since it doesn't usually burn to the end, therefore it's not as if it burns to the ground. That's what we have to add in.
Doesn't usually burn to the end.
Right. That's what we have to add in. Okay, interesting halakha on the Ritva. Okay, the Gemara tries again. Masiv Rami Bar Chama. Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos. One is permitted to go ahead and there's Mefirin. The act of Mefirin is that one goes to one's wife makes a neder. So the halacha is that the husband has jurisdiction over those nedarim. And he could say, sorry, doesn't count. Now, she goes ahead and she makes a... She makes a neder on food, I guess her own food. I was just thinking about it now. Why is anything muksa? Let's say she says, this is my food, I'm not going to eat it. So what? I mean, it's still, other people can eat it. You can't make a nether on me. So even if the lady did make the nether, why is the item's muksa? So I was just thinking about that now. As he twists his ass, I mean, again, all these questions are only because I saw it like 10 years ago. But Tosfos asked the question. Tosfos says that you're right. It's not. Making a muksa now is when she goes ahead and she says, "I swear I won't eat it," which is what she did. So. It becomes, there's a special category being muksa for her to eat. You're right, it's mutter to move, but she cannot, in muksa, there are some sometimes unusual categories where it's mutter to move, but you can't get hana from it. So this is one of those examples where it's mutter to move, but she's not allowed to eat it, or she shouldn't be allowed to eat it. Since at the beginning of Shabbos, albeit it was mutter for her to eat, but it wasn't mutter for her to get hana from, so that Isser Hana should retain for the rest of Shabbos, which is the Gemara's question. If it's true, and even like the words of the Ritva, like that you mentioned, that the Vart is you need somebody else to get involved, how could she allow her husband to be Mefir in the Nether on Shabbos? She goes and she swears, I'm not going to have any blueberry pie anymore. I can't believe I put on 3 pounds since Pesach. I'm not eating blueberry pie anymore. And she swears off blueberry pie. And now... her husband goes ahead and says, so at the beginning of Shabbos, all those stacked blueberry pies in the freezer are all muksa. And I was asking, what do you mean they're muksa? Let their husband eat it. They're not muksa. Terry says, they're muksa for her to eat. But they should be. Nevertheless, the halacha is that mefir in the Dharma of Shabbos, the husband is allowed to say, there's no neder. And he's allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why is he allowed to do that on Shabbos? Let the item retain its muksa. And like the Ritva, you said you need somebody else to get involved. So she should, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be muksa. Va'amai, lema, let us say, miyemer demizdakik la ba'al. Who says that the husband will get involved? And says the Gemara, hasam kedar of Pinchas. Over there, this is the Gemara's answer. It says the Gemara, where the answer to that is reliant on the way Rav Pinchas explains that Gemara over there. Mishmei derava. The Amar Rav Pinchas mishmei derava. Kol hanoderas al das bailehi noderas. When a lady makes a neder, she makes it on condition that her husband is maskim. That's what she does. Everything she does is if my husband agrees. And therefore, when she made the nether, it wasn't even fully muksa because maybe her husband wouldn't agree. Now that her husband says it's nothing, in other words, I don't agree to your nether. So the lady's saying, okay, fine, so I never wanted it to be muksa then. She only said I don't want it, assuming her husband agreed. Now that her husband tells her she didn't agree, so then I never wanted to make it us. Tashimah, the Gemara tries again. Okay, that helps for husbands and wives. But the halacha is that a regular person is allowed to make that same neder. Let's say a man or an unmarried lady. She says, I swear no more blueberry pies. The halacha is that she is also allowed to go to the... She's allowed to go to this... to the. She herself is allowed to go. Or the husband is allowed to go, if he made the nether, to a chacham, and get the chacham to say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So why? Why is that mutter? Here, we can't say that originally you had in mind that if the chacham agreed. Tashma, nish'alim l'nadarim, shal tzorech b'shabbos, lib b'shabbos. Now you're only allowed to do this if you need the blueberry pies on Shabbos. But if you do, you're allowed to go ahead and take off a nether from Shabbos, that's to do with Shabbos on Shabbos. V'amai, lema, let us say, miyemer demizdakik lechacham. And the Gemara says, even using that ritva, the whole reason was we don't know if the chacham will come. And sometimes it's hard. You gotta finagle the guy to come and like, will you listen to my nether? Say mutalach, you gotta wait for him. There's 100 people waiting for him after mincha. You know, it's hard to get to him. So lav dafka, you'll get to this rav. However, that's the explanation by mum, especially the mum ones, the mum ravs. They're, you know, usually an expert rav. So, you know, I remember, I mean, it's not anytime you go to speak to the Meir Stern, every single mincha, you try to get a hold, well, there's no more minchas anymore, but you try to get a hold of him, there's Beli Guzma, I would say 20 people who would jump on him the second mincha's over. And unless you have an official appointment, it's not kedai. So I once had to speak to him. I flew into Psaic, and I was... I had an official appointment. And I remember this from yeshiva days, like how impossible it is to get a hold of him. And so people are jumping in. I was in the office, like people are like, just an emergency shit question. Just this, just that, just that. It was abnormal to be around him after mincha. You literally have 20 people clamoring to get his attention. So, you know, there in such a case, it's very hard to get hold of him. And you never know. He's probably, you might get him, you might not. However, in the case of Nadarim, worst comes to worst, you won't get him. So you go to three hedyaitis and you say, hey buddies, can you come here and say mutalach, mutalach, mutalach? Okay, fine. So it's not hard to get three people. It's not hard. So Tashima Nishalom Nadarim Shal Tzarech HaShabbos B'Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Hasam, Eloi Mizdaki Lechacham, Saigile Begimel Hedyaitis. It's good enough with three hedyaitis. Hacha, Miyemed Mizdaki Lechacham. But in this case, you actually need the Chacham. Which is interesting because going back to the question about husbands, why didn't the Gemara say, well, it's easy to get the husband? The answer is apparently not, right? the husband's attention would be he does not have the wife's attention. I'm not sure, but okay.
Easy to get three hediotas unless it's Rosh Hashanah. There's a whole lot of people eating
hediotas. Right, exactly. So and over here, the Tarsus Dharma though is even easier than that because you just need the words mutalach. But right. A lot of times you have like a person comes up like, oh, it's okay, I had a bad dream last night. It's like, oh man. Because they're also, depending on what type of thing the guy, it could be like a 5-minute affair, you know.
If you don't get it interpreted, I think remember we had
it? Yeah.
If you don't get it interpreted, it's a good
answer. Right. Yeah, but still, you know, so a lot of people like to get that, you know, the chazila. Chelma tova chazais. Yeah.
We said that the wife always makes a neder.
Yeah.
Das Baila.
Uh-huh.
So that's why the object is not mukta.
Right.
What was the next step? Like, the next kasha that she has to go get a chacham?
No. That's talking about somebody who doesn't have a husband. Either a husband himself. Somebody... So he's allowed to go to a chacham. So there you actually need a chacham. And there we don't say that when a person makes a neder, he does it al das the chacham. You don't have that same logic. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. You might not get access to the chacham, but it's nevertheless easy to get it off. Okay. The Gemara tries another question. Rami le Abayi le Rabbi Yosef. Mi Amar Rabbi Shimon Kavsa. Did Rabbi Shimon really say that if it goes out, it's mutla taltala, that if it goes out, it is permitted to carry it? Kavsa and loy kavsa loy, but that's mashma. If it goes out, it's permitted. But if it doesn't go out, it's not permitted. My time up. What's the reasoning? Dilma bahadi de nakat la kavsa. Because there's a chashash that maybe when you're carrying it, it's going to go out. Now, we said back on Mem Hey Amar Aleph and Dalet Amar Aleph that the reason was because it's Huxa Le Mitzvasei. I can't believe it. Remember yesterday we were learning Mem Dalet Amar Aleph and the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, that it's Dafka if it goes out. So I said at first that the reason is it's a Gezeira because you might come to put it out and whatnot. Then on Mem Hey Amar Aleph, I was like, oh no, it's because it's Muksa LeMitzvaseh. Now the Gemara is coming back and saying that the reason is because, I was right the first time, the reason is because you might come to put it out. I'm just not sure how to deal with it because I remember Tosfos somewhere is supposed to ask this question. And Tosfos is supposed to say that, now I'm remembering, that this that it says on Mem Hey Amar Aleph that it's Muksa LeMitzvaseh is Dafka for use. It's davka muksa to use it, but not to move it. The reason why it's usher to move is because it is. The reason why it's usher to move is because of this. You might put it out. Do you have any notes there? This should be a pretty fairly simple question that we just said before. Yeah, what did they say?
Although we concluded above 45A, that Rabbi Shimon recognizes the concept of muksa
lemitzvah
by dint of mitzvah.
Right.
He would not prohibit moving the lit lamp, Shabbos lamp, on that basis, since moving it does not detract from the mitzvah. He relies on that concept only to prohibit taking oil from the lamp.
Right, yeah. So where do they, is that, that's a taste of somewhere. Do they quote it?
Goes to 42B, Tosfos, Rosh Yosef, Rabbi Akiva Eger.
What? Do they quote the name of Tesis 42B?
Dire Hamaskel Ein Yosef.
Okay. Yeah. You can look at Rabbi Shimon the Matamata. Acha Hainu calls Manchet, I think the Muksamach must have made Rabbi Shimon. Right. Yeah, he speaks there. Okay, fine. Okay. Alright, so indeed, it is usher because you might come to move it. If you're moving it, you might come to put it out. Says the Gemara, who cares if you might come to put it out? That would be a davar she'ein miskaven. Hashamini l'Rabbi Shimon, davar she'ein miskaven is what they're. So long as it's not a guarantee, who cares if it happens? That can't be the reason, because you might by mistake put it out. Well, mistakes, you're allowed to make mistakes on Shabbos. It's mutter. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Emer Geir, Adam, Kisei, Mita, Vesafsal. A person is allowed to drag a bench, a bed, a chair, a bed, a bench, so long as he doesn't have intent to create a furrow in the ground. So the Gemara at first tries to say, an answer which we're not going to stick with, answers the Gemara, Kol Heicha Dechi Mechaven, anytime if you were to have Kavana for that mitzvah, for that act, for example, scratching the furrow in the ground, you had kavana, then there was going to be an ika isur d'raisa, you'd violate an isur d'raisa. So let's talk about opening a fridge door and having an incandescent bulb going, opening up. So then Rabbi Shimon would say that a davar she'ein miskaven is aser. Ki lo mechaven gazer Rabbi Shimon with the rabbanim. Rabbi Shimon would say that a davar she'ein miskaven is aser. Kalheicha, however, this case of dragging the bench, where the maximum you're going to get is anyways at the rabbanan. Kalheicha dechi mechaven iki isura the rabbanan, because it's not the normal way to plow. If you ever go to a farm, you won't see a guy dragging a bench or a bed in order to plow. So therefore, anyways, it's a kulachar yad. It's not. It's shalei kederech, and mimele it's considered a drabanan. So kiloi mechaven shari Rabbi Shimon lechatchila. That's what Rabbi Shimon says that davar she'ein miskaven is mutar lechatchila. But the Gemara does not like this, and this is not how we pass in Masiv Rava. People who sell clothing and they're not sure if it is shatnez or not, so you're allowed to let people try it on. So long as when trying it on, you don't have intent to get hana'a from the beggar. You don't have intent to let the beggar warm you, or in the sun to protect you from the sun, or in a windy day or in a rainy day, you can't try it on and at the same time expect the clothing which has shatness to protect you. But if all you're doing is trying it on to see if it fits, that is mutter, even if it has shatness in it. That's Sinuin, says the Gemara, but those who are makvid is mafshilin b'makal echarein. They try it on a mannequin, on a stick. But benkach u benkach, we see that Rabbi, this is kolzman, you didn't have kavana, then it's davar she'ein miskaven, and it's mutter. V'ha'acha, and had you had kavana, d'chi mechaven, if you had kavana about it, it would have been an isur d'oraisa. Ika, there would have been. And ki loy mechaven shar Rabbi Shimon l'chadchila. Now that you're not having kavana, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter l'chadchila. So why does Rabbi Shimon say that it's usher to move the lamp? Because it might go out. If it goes out, who cares? It's a davar she'ein miskaven. And the Gemara says, indeed, that's true. Who cares? It is a davar she'ein miskaven. And it would be mutter to move. So why does Rabbi Shimon say it's usher to move kolzman that the lantern is on? The Gemara says a whole different reason. A different type of muksa. Hanach laner shemenu psila. The lamp, oil, and wick are all muksa because hoil v'danase basis l'davar ha'asar, because it is a basis to the flame. It is a basis to the flame. And the flame, Rabbi Shimon is moita, is muksa. And since anything resting on the flame, since something that is muksa is resting on something else, the bottom piece becomes muksa also. Therefore, for the duration that the candle is lit, or that the lamp is lit, everything becomes a basis for that. Okay, so, yeah, let's stop over here. All right, okay, excellent. Have an amazing day. Yeshu
Koyach. Can you record the first 15 minutes of shiur?
Yeah, okay, I'll put it on soon. I'll put it on. Okay, have a great one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.